Thank you, Pastor O. And also thank you to Jeff for this opportunity to be able to bring forward a message that's been placed on my heart. So before I do, I'd like to pray and hand this time over to the Lord, please. Lord, I thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for what you've placed on my heart this week. And I bring myself before you now. I ask that you please use me to say what you need to say. I pray that your Holy Spirit be over this place and that people hear this message and they're encouraged. In Jesus' name, amen. Building with opposition. It's something that not many people like, opposition. You don't like to be confronted with things that make you uncomfortable, keep you challenged. But as I prayed, I hope that what you get out of today is encouragement, is a confidence to step forward. And I'm going to go straight into Ezra. Ezra chapter 4, verses 1 to 5. The Israelites were asked to build the Lord's temple. And in the first opening five verses, it's met with opposition, straight up. So I'll read them out. When the enemies of Judah and Benjamin heard that the exiles were building the temple for the Lord, the God of Israel, they came to Zerubbabel and the heads of the families and said, "Let us help you build, because like you, we seek God, or seek your God, and have been sacrificing to him since the time of Esrodon, the king of Assyria, who brought us here. But Zerubbabel, Joshua and the rest of the heads of the families of Israel answered, 'You have no part with us building the temple to our God. We alone will build it for the Lord, the God of Israel, as King Cyrus, the king of Persia, commanded us.' Then the peoples around them set out to discourage them, and the peoples of Judah, discourage the people of Judah and make them afraid to go on building. They bribed officials to work against them and frustrated the plans during the entire reign of Cyrus, king of Persia, down to the reign of Darius, king of Persia." Bribery, discouragement, the desire to make them afraid to do the Lord's work, they're pretty big oppositions. They're physical, they're mental, they're emotional. You imagine having to face that every day. You're already doing the Lord's work, but then that's what's in front of you. People doing what they can to pull you down. As the chapter continues, you actually see the heads, the people in charge, trying to work out ways of going back through history to find this is what they did. This is why you can't do it. And it actually took, from what I reckon, about 30 years of going through all this. I'm not too good with history, but that's what Google told me anyway. So that has to be right. So that was then. As most of you know, or some of you may know, I love cycling. I always have, ever since I was a little kid, being on two wheels, the freedom, the open space, it's fantastic. When we moved up here, one of my desires was to ride Mount Panorama, straight up. It was a big climb, never done it. It was a challenge that I set myself. However, I didn't want anyone to see me. So I got up 4:30 in the morning, left the family at home, just me, the darkness of the morning, a few kangaroos, and off I went. Riding up Mountain Straight, got the mountain corner, got around there. My legs were burning. My heart was thumping. Could hardly get enough oxygen in. I stopped, waited for a few, probably 90 seconds to 2 minutes, regathered myself and kept going. Another couple of hundred metres, same thing, stopped. I'm thinking, what have I done? Why am I doing this? What you don't know, I eventually made it up, but I faced that challenge five times on five different days. It took me five attempts to get up that mountain without stopping. But I was determined. I didn't stop. That was my goal. I wanted to get up there. it was the opposition. So for me, my opposition was my legs. It was my fitness, the lack of. The incline itself, other people have done it better, quicker. They even look better doing it. But you know what? Once I got up there, I got up there. I knew what it took for me to get up that mountain. I've done it quite a few times since, but I'll still never forget that feeling of the first time I made it up there. I overcame the opposition that was in front of me. So what's this got to do with building against opposition? Without those struggles, without me having to fight against everything that was pulling me back, I wouldn't have built what it took to get up there. I needed to keep pushing through. It was what was going to make me conquer the mountain for myself. The thing, apart from all the physical stuff, the thing that got me the most, the thing that I had to fight against the most were the voices in my head. It was the ones telling me, you can't do it. The pain's too much. Look how silly you are. Look at you. It became real when everything around you was hurting so much. But this is just a little human story, a little goal that I set for myself. And it did. It came with its own struggles. It came with its own challenges. But they were real. They were real to me. And I had to build up inside myself the strength to be able to push through that. But you know what? What if God set you a challenge? What if he set you a goal that's just for you? Something that required persistence, patience, something that required trust and faith. Do you think that doing God's work won't come with its own challenges, with its own oppositions? Do you think you have what it takes to move forward, to be able to get up that mountain and not quit, not give up? Rest assured. Oh, here we go. Rest assured, when you're doing the Lord's work, it will come with its own challenges. It will. You can guarantee it. If you have a look, it's through the Bible. Moses, he was asked to take the Israelites out of Egypt. Opposition, Pharaoh. Moses needed to trust that Pharaoh was going to be taken down by the Lord. Even though he couldn't see him, he had to trust in the Lord. David, even though he was anointed by God, faced constant opposition against King Saul to the point where King Saul was even trying to take his own life. Daniel was thrown into the lion's den because he wouldn't stop praying to God. The king actually made a law to set him up. Like, that's all the prophets face regular opposition. And the list goes on. Those who do the Lord's work will face opposition. If Jesus, the Son of God, can face opposition, you better believe you're going to as well. One of my favorite images, one of the greatest battles in my mind, is Jesus in the wilderness. In Matthew chapter 4, verses 5 to 6, we see Satan using God's own words against him. It says, "Then the devil took him to the holy city and stood him and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. 'If you are the Son of God,' he said, 'throw yourself down, for it is written,'" there it is, "'he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against that stone.'" That's straight from Psalms 91, verse 11 and 12. Jesus' opponent using his own words against him. What was he thinking? So what do we need to do if we've got any chance about standing against opposition? First and foremost, you need to press into your relationship with the Lord, you and him, first and foremost. All areas of life, good, bad, everything in between. Getting to know him, spending time with him, it's not just in the bad times, it's in the good times too. Spending time in the Word, spending time in prayer. All the usual things that we tend to forget because of life's busyness. Second, phone a friend. Have a friend that you can trust 100%. I truly believe that this is vital for our success against opposition. You know, when I've been going through some pretty tough stuff, I've had times where it was just me and Jesus. And I'd pray, and Jesus was there. He helped. But I also needed somebody that I could lean on, somebody that I could talk to, someone that I could vent to and physically see. Why do I believe that this is true, that we need somebody? Have you ever noticed that the 2x2 system, like Noah in the ark, it's happened quite a bit. Moses, he had Aaron. He had Aaron by his side. Joshua, he had Caleb. David, he had Jonathan. Esther, she had Mordecai. Paul had Silas. Even Batman had Robin. But my point is, you will need support. When you're battling opposition, you're going to need support. You're going to need somebody that, yes, Jesus is always there. I get that. But to have somebody there to walk with, to cry with, to yell with, it makes the troubles easier to go through. Speaking from personal experience, I've faced some pretty major stuff in the last few years. Stuff where our marriage has been a bit hard at times, but I've had someone there that I could ring up and say, help, pray for me. I can't do this on my own. And knowing that he's there, just a phone call away, it made everything so much easier. As I said earlier, pushing in on our relationship with Jesus, that's first and foremost. But having somebody there is paramount. But don't go to step two without getting step one done first. Jesus is your number one go-to. That person there to rely on, that's two. Those names that I mentioned earlier, they were there in good times and bad. The power that two can have is profound. The ability that it gives you, the strength that it gives you, to be able to take you further than you ever thought possible. Now, add into the mix that you're both seeking the Lord for each other. I'm praying for you and lifting you up in prayer. You're praying for me and lifting me up in prayer. Mountains can move. No matter what you're facing in front of you, God is also there, even if you can't see him. I love the picture described in 2 Kings 6:15 to 17. This is a picture for you and me. This is what we have around us, and it reads, "When the servant of the man of God got up, went out early the next morning, an army of horses and chariots surrounded the city. 'Oh no, my Lord, what shall we do?' the servant asked." This was the servant's reaction to what he saw in front of him, physically there. "Don't be afraid," the prophet answered. "Those who are with us are more than those who are with them." Then Elisha prayed, "Open his eyes, Lord, so that he may see." Then he opened the servant's eyes and he looked around and saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. What a picture. Yes, we have things in front of us, but God's there too. No matter what opposition is in front of you right now, he is there. He is walking with you side by side. We have heaven's armies at our disposal. Not just fighting for us, but fighting with us. That's key, with us. We will only face what we're meant to face, and God will take care of the rest. When you look at your opposition like this, you start to see that we're protected from the full force of the enemy. Look at Job chapter 1, verse 10, another picture of protection. Satan says, "Have you not put a hedge around his household and everything he has? Have you blessed his work, the work of his hands, so that his flock and his herds are spread throughout the land. Satan clearly tried attacking Job previously and has failed. When you get that image of a hedge, it's a barrier right across. So that means Satan's tried here. He's tried here. He's tried here. He's tried here. He's tried a few different ways to get through. So the fact that it was a hedge, it shows. So yeah, Satan called him out. Have you not put a hedge around him? I read this and I think what I'm facing, God has allowed to come through, which clearly shows me that I'm strong enough to face whatever I've got in front of me because he's given me permission to face it. If I wasn't strong enough with him, he wouldn't have let it through. God has a hedge around you, and he will only allow you to face what you're strong enough to face, nothing more. So just imagine what he's holding back, because I would not like him to take his hedge away. I would not like to face that entourage straight on my own. So what does this mean for us as a church as a whole? Together we can take down armies. We can shake the gates of hell. We can take back ground that Satan currently occupies. He doesn't own, but he's holding on. We can bring life back to the streets of Bathurst in the name of Jesus. Look at the power that two have and imagine what can happen if all of us are on the same side, on the same page, standing side by side, praying with each other, praying for each other, spending time together in the Word. Don't underestimate the power that it has when you spend time regularly reading your Bible, praying personally, praying together, praying corporately. It is an incredible power that can't be shaken. Imagine the battles we could face together. This is where not stopping, not giving up, not listening to those voices in your head is so important. Not looking at what is in front of you, but knowing that God is with you. This is where faith is born on a whole new level. This is where you will find God moving in us, through small groups, through individuals, and through the church as a whole. Life Build is just that, the opportunity to build life together with Jesus. And it will come with its oppositions and struggles. It will be emotional. It will be physical. It will be financial. It will be mental. There will be opposition. You can guarantee it. If you are committed to seeing God move through this church, in our families and in our cities, it won't be easy. It will be tough, and we will need to be there for each other. But let me tell you, we will see Lord work miracles like you've never seen before. We will see families changed. We will see lives restored. We will see people proclaiming the name of Jesus that we never thought possible. It'll come to a point where not one of us will be able to deny his faithfulness, his love, his favor, and his goodness. I know I've said it a few times, but it's so important that it sinks in. You are going to face opposition. But that doesn't mean you turn around and you go back down the mountain. It means you just stop, regather yourself, move on. Even if you've got to stop a little bit further, have somebody that you can call on. Have someone that you can lean on. Help me, pray for me, pray with me. It's so vital. Remember these statements and own them because they are the words of God's people. Satan has no power over me. If God is for us, who can be against us? No weapon formed against me will prosper. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. The same power that rose Christ from the dead is alive and living inside each and every one of us, and he can raise to life the streets of Bathurst again. Every influence that stands against us cannot and will not stand against the name of Jesus Christ. Joshua 1:9. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Deuteronomy 31:8, the Lord himself goes before you and with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. John 10:10, the thief comes only to kill, or to steal, kill and destroy. I have come that you and I, may have life and have it to the full. The enemy wants to steal your courage. He wants to kill the belief that you have in Jesus, that he will get you through the struggles that are in front of you. He wants to destroy the faith that it takes and is required to trust in Jesus. Don't let others make you afraid. There is one name that is greater than every other name. Don't listen to those voices in your head. You can't give anymore. Your money's already stretched. What can you do? You're only one person. You've got problems of your own. How can you help? Don't listen to those voices. They're just lies, and that's exactly what the enemy wants you to believe. They are just lies. You can't beat your mountain? Yes, you can. You won't be able to finish the Lord's temple? Yes, you will. You won't be able to help that person? Just sitting there listening to them talk is enough to help somebody. Jesus is the one who knows what you need before you need it. And he will take care of all your needs. He will never let you down. He will get you through whatever he needs to get you through just to help you get stronger. He will be there no matter what, no matter what's in front of you, no matter how alone you are, he's there with you. So as I'm wrapping up, I might get the band to come up, please. As I'm wrapping up, I just want you to know that your faith, your trust in God, your relationship with Jesus is the most important thing. The fact that I can stand here before you and try and encourage you to lean on your relationship with Jesus is something that I don't take lightly. Church, I want to encourage you to take this card as an opportunity to grow with Jesus, no matter what stage of life you're in. Be honest with yourself and with him. Scan the QR code. But before you do anything, pray over it. Let the Lord talk to you personally. Life Build is where we can come together for one purpose. Life Build is between you and the Lord, no one else. He will take care of you. When the opposition comes, he'll be there to look after you. When you put your trust and your faith in him, whether it's allowing somebody to come and talk to you, you might be a person that doesn't like being talked to or doesn't like opening up to people. But taking that step and trusting, the Lord's going to take that and bless it and reward it. If money is tight, he will bless that money. If your time is tight, he will reward the time that you give. He is faithful to look after you and all that you need and all that you do. He will not let you down. And the opposition will not win. So as we finish today, I encourage you, find that space with the Lord. Take that time. As I said, scan the QR code, see what the Lord speaks to you with. But most importantly, find that spot with him. Take it to a new level. Say, you know what, Lord? I'm stepping forward for you. I don't know how it's going to end up, but I'm trusting you. Take that step. It's going to be uncomfortable. It's going to come with opposition eventually. But don't turn around. Don't give up. So I'd like to pray for you now as the band plays in the background. Lord, I thank you that you are always there. I thank you that you've given us each other, that we can face problems together, together with you in prayer, but together with each other as physical support. So Lord, I pray that you meet every single person in the space that they need you to strengthen them, Lord, to give them the confidence to take that step forward, to grow that trust in you, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.